Well, we need to take a look and just understand what is really the reason behind, or the motivation, the end goal behind our giving. God could ultimately get things where he wants to get it without our help, but he allows us to participate in the act of giving. And as I've heard it said before, God doesn't use giving to raise money. He uses it to raise disciples. So as we examine our own process of giving and how we're doing it, how we're thinking about it, it's important to understand that there's reasons behind this. And are we just going through the motions and giving so that we feel like we're meeting an obligation, or we're checking the box and moving on? Or are we really pursuing the act of sanctification to become more like Christ and be better disciples? And so that's why I put this article together, just to draw together a list of principles and a list of processes that we see in Scripture that will help us to grow through our giving to be more like Christ.
You know, Brad, I was sitting in my church a few years ago. I was working on the church bulletin when one of the other church members came in, and I got to talk to her for a couple of minutes. She had her little girl with her, and I said, "By the way, what are you doing here in the middle of the week?" And she said, "Well, I get paid on Wednesdays, and the first thing I do is I write out my check for God, and I wanted to get it here right away." And that really impacted me big time. Talk about how important it is to prioritize our giving.
Yeah, so giving to God should be one of those first things that we do. It should be a priority. We should want to give to God. It's an act of thankfulness. So just like that person you're using as an example, they were thankful. They were recognizing God as the provider of all things, and the first thing they wanted to do was take some money off the top, just kind of like the Old Testament process of taking your first fruits. So the first of her harvest she was taking, and she was going to give it back to God, to show priority, to also, you know, we have to understand our own sinfulness. And if we take that paycheck and we put it in our bank account and start paying bills out of it, we run the risk that we won't have anything left to give back to God at the end. So just understanding that is a possible risk, we need to take that money right off the top, cast it out of our hands as quickly as possible. And I like to tell people, if you ever question our own reliability of having money in our hands and ultimately getting it where it needs to go, look at what the IRS does. They don't trust us. They take our paycheck and they take the taxes right off the top, because they know if they wait for us to get done with everything else we want to do, there's not going to be any money left to pay our taxes.
Well, you know, and I can also say, concentrate on what you're doing. If you are writing out that check, focus on that check that you're writing out for the church and to honor God with. Because I tell you, Brad, once I accidentally, and this is the truth, sent my gas bill check to the church and my tithe to the gas company. And when I realized what I had done, I'm like, well, I guess it's an opportunity to witness. I got to make the most of this somehow. But I really needed to be paying attention to what I was doing. And that's part of that prioritizing. But you also talk about giving regularly. Share more on that.
Yeah. So again, it kind of goes along with what we just talked about. As we receive, honor God and give as we're receiving. So, I mean, it's really that simple of a concept. And we see this concept played out in Paul's instructions to the Corinthians, when he tells them on the first day of each week to set something aside and store it up for this offering that was going to be taken for the church in Judea. Now, that was a specific situation, but it's just a good practice. So as we're receiving, we have all those other things in our budget that we're going to do with it. But giving, again, is that priority. And if we're going to honor God, if we're going to thank him for being the provider of that income, it's a great opportunity to just carve it off the top and give what you had planned to give. And it also helps us to build a regular practice of giving.
Now, you also, go ahead, Brad.
Well, I was just going to say that a regular practice of giving is a key for our seasoned givers, but especially for those that have not given in the past or haven't built a habit of giving. And I like to tell people, don't start by concentrating on how much you're going to give. Start by concentrating and building a habit of giving.
Okay. And you also talk about giving quietly, not necessarily to draw a bunch of attention to what we're doing either.
Yeah, the familiar scripture that's often quoted here is, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And that comes from Matthew 6. If you back up a couple verses before that, scripture tells us, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So it's really an issue of the heart here. It's not that somebody else might see us giving or know what we're giving. The issue is, are we seeking reward or praise from man? instead of honoring God with it by giving it quietly. And then this also goes into the next aspect of giving, that we don't want to seek power or influence from our giving either. We're wanting to give so that we're honoring God. We're not wanting to give so that we can pull strings on the back end and have people do what we want them to do with that money.
Now, explain this to us, too, because I will tell you, there was a time, you know, I'd go to church on Sunday, and I'd write out my check. And in my mind, and this has been years ago, I wrote out my check. There, I did my duty. Now I'm going to focus on worship. But giving is an act of worship. Talk about how we can give worshipfully, and what does that even mean?
Yeah, the word worship by itself can be defined as an act of showing worth. So I've heard people actually take the word worship and change it to worth-ship, and that's exactly what we're doing. In any act of worship, we're showing God's worth, and giving is a perfect way to do that, because in giving, we're taking something that has tangible value to us. So we're taking our money that we could go use and buy whatever our heart desires, or our flesh desires, maybe I should say. And instead, we're taking that money and we're giving it to God. We're giving it away, and we're showing that He is worth more than all those things that we could have used that money to purchase. So to me, it's a perfect opportunity for us to take our faith and put it into action by giving up something that we want and giving it to God because He is worth more. And to me, that is just a perfect act of worship right there.
And I love this scripture, too, that says God loves a cheerful giver. And I know we have heard that so many times when pastors in our churches address our giving. And talk about giving cheerfully, Brad, and what that means. I know some people might go, oh, this has been a tight month, and I know I'm giving less than cheerfully. What does that mean to be a cheerful giver?
Well, just go back to the idea of worship. How much worth are we showing to God if we're giving begrudgingly? So I'm not going to say there's no worth there, because even when we give begrudgingly, we're still showing God that He's still worth more than whatever we're giving up. But, you know, we can all take it to our personal lives. If somebody gives us a gift but they don't really want to let go of it, it kind of diminishes that gift, doesn't it? But when somebody gives us that gift and they can't wait for us to unwrap it because they want to see how happy we are to give it, it adds a lot of worth to that gift. Same process here. And if we're struggling with having a cheerful heart when we give, like I said, there's still value in giving. And it's that whole concept of where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Sometimes we got to start the giving so that we can eventually be cheerful about it. And that's where giving regularly and giving immediately, all those things come into play. So all these principles that we're talking about here, all these practices, really one builds upon the other. And when we give immediately, when we give regularly, when we give quietly, and we worship as we do it, suddenly we find out that our hearts are being molded here. Again, we're being sanctified. We're becoming more like Christ, and that cheerfulness comes right along with it.
You know, I have heard people debate before, and I'm sure you have too, Brad, about how much to give. And some will say, well, you've got to tithe, period, end of subject. And others quote 2 Corinthians 9:7 about giving what we have decided in our hearts to give. And that may not be a tithe, that might be something else. But somewhere in there, we have got to determine what we're going to give. How do we learn how to give intentionally, and what should that look like?
Yeah, and that, giving intentionally, or, you know, just that verse that you're talking about from 2 Corinthians, we must give as He has decided in His heart to give. Well, how have you decided in your heart to give if you haven't spent time on it? So we need to spend time and actually pursue and pray about how much does God want us to give. And if we're not spending time on it, if we're only deciding how much to drop in the offering tray as it's coming down the aisle, we have to realize we haven't explored our heart. We don't really know what we should be giving. We're just giving in reaction to the offering tray coming toward us and feeling guilty to do that. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do that. It doesn't mean that there shouldn't be spontaneous times of giving at other times in our lives either. But the bulk of our giving should be decided as part of a process, as a process of prayer, as a process of budgeting, and as a process of just exploring that heart and seeing, what is it, God, that You want me to give from my income or from my assets? You know, we're wanting to turn our whole life over for God's glory, and if we're not putting in the time, we're probably not really exploring that. And, you know, One of the things, too, is we shouldn't let our budget dictate necessarily what our giving is. We need to explore the heart and then see, can we make our budget allow that giving? So sometimes I have people come to me and they'll say, you know what, we really want to give this amount, but our budget's too tight, we can't do that. And then it's a process of sitting down and seeing how can we get their budget there now? And if not, how can we eventually get their budget there so that we can allow their heart or allow their budget to give what their heart has already decided to give?
You know, I really appreciate the attention that you give to intentional giving, because I was sitting in church this past Sunday, Brad, and before I knew it, you know, we had just transitioned from one thing to the next, and they said, well, the ushers are going to come around now with the offering plates. And I'm like, ah, oh, I haven't even written out my check yet. And I started to grab my check because I knew what I wanted to give. I had gotten that far. I just had forgotten to write it. And I thought, they're moving so fast, I didn't even get to give it while they were collecting it, have to take care of it later. And I thought, oh, I really need to give God more honor than this and be prepared when I walk in that door on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, I recently heard the story from a couple different people. I don't know who this person is, but I've heard the story that every week they would actually wrap their offering up as a present. And I thought, what a great example of somebody that is taking time and is truly making that a piece of worship and making it an intentional act that they're, again, they're spending time on to honor God.